every year we get together, my uncle picks something crazy to cook. Or he cooks something like just really extravagantly. Like one year he dug a 7-foot hole and put coals under there and put like 4 turkeys in there and like, you know, did it all Hawaiian style and buried the sucker back up and we dug it back. You know, it's just, it's nuts. But this year was a little bit wilder than most. He got a bright idea that we should cook a pig. Oh. It's not just, check that out. Wow. Let me tell you, when everyone got that at Christmas this year, it was like, that's kind of disturbing. Because this thing is like, well, and the thing that they ran into rotisserie, it was broken, it would miss a gear, so it would like, it would turn and go coo-coo. And all the kids were around it like the whole day, just going, oh my gosh, there's a pig. I won't even tell you what happened to it afterwards. It's foul. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. I thought that was pretty comical. So, but nonetheless, I would say this has probably been the most interesting year of my life. And I think a lot of our country's lives and a lot of people around, I've never seen so many people struggling in my 26 years. I know that's a blimp. Blurb or something in the history line, but I think it's a pretty telling tale of where our culture is at. And because of that, I think God's doing some crazy things with me and with people around us, and I think we need to rely on Him that much more. So as this year's been progressing, I've been trying to figure out what God means to me and how I put Him in my life and how. What percentage of my life do I give Him? We're supposed to give 100%, and I think I fall short of that all the time. And I think that's hard, living in the Bay Area, especially. And I found this video of a guy named Brennan Manning speaking on God's love a little bit. And I want you to check it out, and I just want to start off the night with that, because I think it's a really amazing video. So let's just pray real quick before we get into it, because I think we just need to align our hearts to kind of understand what's going to happen tonight. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we sit in Your presence tonight, and we are just grateful for every day, every blessing that You give us. And You are truly a gift to us, and we just want to understand that more and understand Your perspective and how big You are. So be with us tonight. Help us hear Your voice. Amen. So let's check out this video real quick.
In the 48 years since I was first ambushed by Jesus in a little chapel in the Allegheny Mountains of Western Pennsylvania, and in literally the thousands of hours of prayer, meditation, silence, and solitude over those years, I am now utterly convinced that on Judgment Day, the Lord Jesus is going to ask each of us one question and only one question. Do you believe that I love you? That I desired you? That I waited for you day after day? That I longed to hear the sound of your voice? The real believers there will answer, yes, Jesus. I believe in your love and I pray to shape my life as a response to it. But many of us who are so faithful in our ministry, in our practice, get our church going, are going to have to reply, well, frankly, no, sir. You never really believe it. I mean, I heard a lot of wonderful sermons and teachings about it. In fact, I gave quite a few myself. But I always thought that was just a way of speaking, a kindly lie, some Christian's pious pat on the back to cheer me on. And there's a difference between the real believers and the nominal Christians that abound in our churches across the land. No one can measure like a believer the depth and the intensity of God's love, but at the same time, no one can measure like a believer the effectiveness of our gloom, pessimism, low self-esteem, self-hatred, and despair that block God's way to us. Do you see why it is so important to lay hold of this basic truth of our faith? Because you're only going to be as big as your own concept of God. Remember the famous line of the French philosopher, Blaise Pascal? God made man in his own image, and man returned the compliment. We often make God in our own image. He might happen to be as fussy, rude, narrow-minded, legalistic, judgmental, unforgiving, unloving as we are. In the past couple of 3 years, I have preached the gospel to the financial community in Wall Street, New York City, the airmen and women of the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, 1,000 physicians in Nairobi. I've been in churches in Bangor, Maine, Miami, Chicago, St. Louis, Seattle, San Diego, and Honest, the God of so many Christians, I mean, is a God who is too small for me, because he is not the God of the Word, he is not the God revealed by and in Jesus Christ, who this moment comes right to your seat and says, I have a word for you. I know your whole life story. I know every skeleton in your closet. I know every one of them sin, shame, dishonesty, and degraded love that has darkened your past. Right now, I know your shallow face, your feeble prayer life, your inconsistent discipleship. And my word is this. I dare you to trust that I love you just as you are. And not as you should be, because you're never going to be as you should be.
So to me, that video is pretty wild. I dare you to trust that God loves you that much. That's pretty intense. That something would love you so much that no matter what you do, no matter what you say, right here, right now, where you're at, God loves you completely. People just don't talk like that, you know. God is the best lover that we ever had. And you know why? Jesus came to this earth and he understands. You know, a name for Christ would be the compassionate Savior, because he truly knows what it's like to be here. He truly knows that. He can meet you here, he can meet you there, anywhere you are, because of that. So this is the point where our faith needs to really begin. Let me be straight with you. We can't earn God's love. Nothing you can do, nothing more, nothing less. Nothing. No more service projects, going to church more, reading your Bible, praying more, any of those things. You can even tattoo it on your forehead. I mean, I have tattoos all over the place. But honestly, I can't be loved by God more either way. You know, it's not like he's Santa Claus, where, you know, you get put on the naughty list, and then once you're good again, you get taken off the naughty list. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. It's from before you were born. I mean, think about that. So if where I get this from is from Scripture, and it's from 1 John 4:19, and it says, we love because he loved us first, or first loved us, sorry. And you know, if you think about that, just that small statement there, that's huge. Because he loved you before anything, time began, he knew you. He knew every hair on your head. He loved you. I mean, that's hard to understand, I think. I have a hard time understanding that at times. And I think the older I get, the better I get at understanding that, but it always seems to have to unravel more and more. With that said, I've experienced this kind of love in my life. I'm going to share this one blip in my life that was just kind of a rough spot for me. It's when I was going to school up at Bethany University up in Scotts Valley. And man, those times were some of the roughest times of my life. So I actually grew up here. I went to Cromwell High School up in Belmont. And I got accepted into Bethany University, and I was dating a girl all through that time, same girl. And when I went to Bethany, first year was great. Man, freshman year, I wish I could live freshman year over again. That was awesome. Had great friends, just good times, you know. And then second year, I'm like, I'm gonna be with this girl a long time now. Let's get married. That's a good idea. And which it was, in all honesty. But I was young, you know. There's a lot of. I was young. but through this time, so that's 2004. So we get married, and then I go into my junior year of college, and my parents split up. hit me hard. That was a really tough place for me to be in, honestly, and it scared me. It scared me from my own life, scared me from my marriage, and, you know, it just kind of it hit me hard. And that affected my home life with my wife at the time, and it also, we had problems just already as it was, because being in school and being married and me working full-time on top of that is a tough, tough place to be in. So I was also, during this time, working at a church in Scotts Valley. It was a vineyard church, surprisingly. And I was working there, I'm going to school, my parents split up, I'm married, and then my life starts falling apart with my wife. And then, so I'm starting to notice a trend, and I'm like, okay, everything's starting to fall apart. And what do? Of course, I make the best decision of my life. I'm like, I'm scared, I'm out of here, my wife, peace out. I took off on her. Because of that one decision that I made during that time, it unraveled a world of hurt. A world of hurt. So it was like my family life was already messed up at home and my family here. And now I've decided I'm going to screw my family up in another place too. So during all this time, so the church finds out that I've let my, like said, I left my wife. And they're all like, okay, you're fired. Bye. Have a great day. Bethany College or university, they're like, see ya. No student housing for you. So go find somewhere else to live. So for 2 weeks, I'm just kind of like, I'm homeless. So like everything around me is caving in, right? So I go to the school. I go upstairs to the school administration building, and there's like housing things up there, and I go, I'm like, okay, like there's these people called the Carlisle House. Alright, I'm gonna call these people. They seem cool. So they actually know me. Because when I was a pastor at the church in Scotts Valley, they're like, oh, we know exactly who you are when I call them. And I'm like, okay, this is not good, because you know what my life is looking like right now, this is bad news. So I go meet with these people, and they actually, they're like, we want to help you, we want to take you in. And that place became a sanctuary for me. It was unbelievable. So, all this stuff is happening. I finally get a place where I can settle down after a couple weeks and kind of float around to people's houses and whatnot. Okay, I started going down a path of playing music and drinking a lot. I mean, I played at every bar in Santa Cruz, playing drums everywhere, you know, everywhere I can get my hands onto, drinking a ton. So, is if I already wasn't making bad enough decisions as it was, now I'm really screwed. I'm taking another path that is really bad. So I'm telling you, man, there's so much destruction that you can choose. It's unbelievable. So during this time, I start getting physically sick because I'm staying up later. I'm going to school at the same time. I got to be up early for music school. And I'm staying out late. I'm starting to get sicker and sicker and sicker. Till one day, I just couldn't get out of bed. And I remember this day, and I was just like, dude, that's all I can say is like, I'm like, God, why? So the first time I come back and say, God, why? After I've been choosing all these things that I'm like, dude, you know, like, help me. And all I could do, I got in my car, dragged myself to my car, and I started driving down Mount Hermon Road to go to the pharmacy, because I worked at a pharmacy previously too, and I knew all the people there. I'm like, I couldn't drive anymore. I pulled over to the side. I called my mom. Help me. You know, it's like, what do? Mom. And she couldn't do anything for me. She's like, I'm sorry. And you know, she was at work at the time, and it was like one of those conversations where if you wish you could grab through the phone, you would, because it was just such an awful thing to have your son say, I'm at an utter bottom pit right now and I need help. So I get off the phone with her and I just start crying. I start bawling. And I can't even control, because my life is just, I'm like, what do I have to live for? I'm like, all this stuff is crashing around me. And then I finally go like, you know what? I need help, God. I don't know what I can do. I can't do anything at this point. I've chosen all these wrong paths. and I need your help to get me back on path. So at that point, you know what? God actually spoke to me in that moment of me crying and bawling and not even being able to even speak. He just said, it's going to be okay. And you know why it's going to be okay? Because you're going to grab my hand right now and we're going to go this way. And we're going to change. And you're going to change your life and we're going to put it on the right path. And I'm telling you, I've never heard God speak so loudly in my life. And you know, that's the God that loves us first. He loved me before I started making all those decisions. He loved me before I was born. You know, it's a true testament that God can meet you wherever you're at, because no matter what you're doing, whether it's bad, whether it's good, it doesn't matter. He loves you just as you are. You know, life can be messy, and when you start mixing with people and you start making decisions and blah, 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 you know, you make wrong decisions, and that's okay. But it's important to come back and repent and say, God, I need your help. Take me with you. You know? Can you understand that? Amen? So, after Bethany, I graduated. Thank God. I still have years to finish, by the way. But they let me walk. I went back home and I started going to my old church, which is a PCC up on the hill, in around city off of Farm Hill. And, you know, there were some people there that were kind of pissed at me, really. They've grown, you know, they saw me grow up my whole life. I was there for 15 years, you know. So to watch, it's like, you know, your son, these people who have helped me and when I was in youth group with, you know, they just said, why? You know, they ask why, because, you know, they're human. They're just like, dude, you're messed up. You know, how can you do that to that person? And I'm like, I messed up. You know, I'm sorry. I tried to go back, but there was no going back. So, but some things that some people said to me were like, stop. You're done. You might as well just give up now. Because biblically speaking, from their perspective, I was done. And I said, well, apparently you don't know the God that I know, and you're not reading scripture correctly. Because that's not the truth. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, no matter what anybody says, God loves you. And he'll accept you back. Because he loved you first. Nothing is too big, nothing is too small. He has that desire to be in a relationship with you. And when it comes down to it, God paid for it on the cross. And by that person saying that to me is cheapening the cross. Straight up cheapening it. Because it would be worthless for him to die on the cross if that was true. I mean, completely worthless. So I'm telling you right now, that's the truth. God will meet you. He loves you first. And he'll accept you back anytime you're ready. If you just take that. So, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ at all. And scripture even says that. And I'm going to read Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to the slaughter. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a pretty cool thing. You can just sit in that for a second. And you can just plug in whatever you have in your life to that. Whether it's divorce, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression. Plug it in there and God will meet you right there. So what I want you to do is just attempt to trust God with that. Trust God that he loves you enough to wipe that stuff out of your life. Yeah, it's still there as a memory, but you can start over. You can find God's love again if you don't feel it yet. You can do that. So what now? Now that we know God loves us, you've heard my story, we're just broken people trying to get through life and hopefully make a difference along the way. What now? What do we do with that kind of love? How do we respond to this love? There's ways to shape our lives in response to that kind of love. Just as anybody loves you, like if someone shows you love, at least for me, my first reaction is, man, I want to do something nice for that person. Or, you want to respond in some way with a hug or a kiss, depending on who it is. Hopefully you don't want to kiss everyone, but, you know. But there's that relationship aspect of it. So being in a relationship with God is number one. That's one of the, and I love tangible ways of putting things to my faith. And I think if you think of it as, God, I'm in a relationship with God. He wants that for us, for me, for us to be in communion together. Make him a priority. Wake up in the morning and brush your teeth with God. Is that a nominal thought? Wake up, brush your teeth with God. Go to sleep with God. And do everything else in between with him, for he is with you. Kind of crazy to think about that. So I want to share you a story that I heard from Brendan Manning, actually. It's kind of a Brendan Manning night, as you can tell. And he was a pastor at a church, I think in Houston, but I'm not exactly sure if that's true. And a woman comes to his door one day, and she says, "Hi, are you Brendan Manning?" And he goes, "Yeah, I'm Brendan Manning. Can I help you?" She goes, "Can you help me?" And he's like, "Yeah. What do you need?" You know. And she said that her father had been dying at her house, and that she's been asking the pastor at her church for like 3 weeks, "Can you come pray for my father? Can you come just be with him?" And he said he was too busy. Basically, he couldn't make it. So Brendan Manning's all right, I'll come pray with your father. No problem. So he goes over there, and he walks in the room, and picture this, and he's at the door, and there's a bed, and there's a man in the bed, and there's an empty chair, and he kind of looks at the bed, and he goes, "Hey, what's going on?" And the guy's all, "Not much. Are you Brendan Manning?" He's like, "Yeah, I am." And he's like, "Can I sit down?" He's like, "Sure." So, you know, he prays with them and sits with them. And then after they're done praying, the guy says to him, "I have a question to ask you." And Brennan goes, "Okay." And the man says, "Do you think God listens to me?" And Brennan goes, "Of course." And he's all like, "Because I picture God in the chair, right there. But he's there and I talk to him." And he's all like, "That is the most unsophisticated thing I've ever heard." And he's like, "That is amazing. Because that is how simple it is." And what is crazy about that story? So Brendan leaves. And apparently, the man had passed away with his head on that chair. And to me, I would love to go down like that. Saying, "God, I'm in your lap. I'm safe there." That's huge. To be able to just be like, "You know, there's a chair right there. God, how are you doing? I'm doing bad. Or I'm doing good. Either way, that's how much God loves you. He's right there with you." Second thing, I think there's a tangible way for us to grab this, is repent. It's so important, I mean, in any relationship that you are in, that if you do something wrong, or, you know, you feel bad about, "Man, I really jacked that person over." And you go to them and you say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. And do you know what the true meaning of repent is? It's taking a walk away. You need to turn from what you're doing and walk away completely. I'm not going to do that anymore. And even if you come back to that and you have to repent again and keep saying, I'm going to walk away from that, do it. It's so important in that relationship with Christ that you're having that conversation, that you're repenting, that you're understanding His love, understanding how big He is. So there is a freedom that we can take right now by trusting God with this. He has this in His hands. His love is more than we can fathom. And no matter what, none of this changes how much God loves us, no matter what. And you know, in my life, from my experiences, from when I was away from God, and I was saying, God, I don't want really anything to do with You, was way worse than me saying, God, I'm Yours. And being in that relationship with Christ was way better than the alternative. So, and thirdly, is take the step to look at people as Jesus does. I mean, how can we live our lives in love and breathe love like Jesus did? And I really think that there's a tangible way, and there's actually a standard that's in Scripture that is already set out for us. I'm going to read Corinthians 13:4. And this, and I really believe that this is the standard of how God wants us to love people as well. He is called to love us to love as He loved. So this is Corinthians 13:4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, I have total confession in my life. I'm not there. I can't do this all the time. I struggle with it. But as John in the Bible, he learned and was transformed by this very standard. He grew into this. And let me tell you, if we all did this, my friend of mine, Gary, up at PCC, is doing a thing called I Love right now. And he talks about it as like a virus that is like a tidal wave going over the whole entire world. Kind of like the swine flu, you know? It's like, oh no, it's coming. But really, it's like, if we all loved, if each one of us loved three people that we knew, the world would be changed differently. And if those three people, one of those three people loved, I mean, it just multiplies and multiplies. I mean, that's, San Carlos would be different. This church would be different if we all took that stance on what it really takes to love people of that godly standard. That's what we want to strive for, to do that. So, in this next year, I challenge you and I challenge myself that we take that step, that we understand how much God loves us. He loved us first, regardless of anything we do, and He meets you right there. And then we respond by loving other people through that same kind of love. And we ask God to help us do that every day. If we have problems with people, we ask God to help. So, as we go out into this next year, I think it would be cool. I think you guys got an envelope and a piece of paper when you came in. Is that true? Yeah. So what I think would be really neat, because if you write your address and your name on the front of the envelope and on the piece of paper that I gave you, I want you to write what this next year looks for you, something that you want to give over to God, how you want to maybe take this next step and say, God, You love me, so I'm going to love other people. Maybe write some names down. Whatever it is that you want to speak with to God tonight, write it in that envelope. And what I'll do is, I promise, I'll email you that. I mean, email. I'll mail you that snail mail style to to your place in a year. And we'll see what God's done with that stuff. Because, I mean, this is a new year. We have an opportunity to do that. And every year it's like, you know, oh, it's a new year. So let's pray. And I'll give you guys a moment to do that. And, yeah, let's just take a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sit in your presence tonight. And I just ask that we would come to understand your love more and more on a daily basis, and that our relationship with you would be enhanced because of our understanding of how much you truly love us. And I just ask in this next year that you would help shape us and help us move into your love, that we'd be able to step into that. So, Father, we give you this next year, and I just ask that you would bless everyone in this room, and that you would help that virus spread throughout this nation. And we give all these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the worship band is going to come up, and then you guys just take a few moments and write down on that paper and put it in the envelope, and as you walk out, just put it on the table on the back, right-hand side over there, and we'll see what this next year holds for us.